Welcome back to perhaps without argument, probably the last show of the year. Football, holidays, all that jazz. But I am pleased to finally have on my old pal, Dennis Foley. Hey, Dennis, how are you?
Hey, Rick, how are you tonight?
Good. I'm glad we could finally pull this off. You know, I probably have had you on, Dennis, with every single thing you've, every book you've written, the movie you made. You're one of my, I've written about you for the paper. I am quoted on the back of your latest book saying the life of Dennis Foley has been so far a wild ride, that he is brave enough to put it all on the pages of this book with the palpable honesty and considerable charm. Not only makes for good reading, but should give every reader hope. You know, I don't even remember what book I was talking about. It could have been any one of them, Dennis, don't you think? I mean, I'm serious. The latest is called Feloniously Yours. It's a memoir, and I think that the great James T. Farrell did not technically write memoirs when he wrote the Studs Lonergan trilogy. There are people in this world and in this city who are starting to compare your work, Dennis, to Studs Lonergan, aren't there?
And, you know, just having somebody say that to me, you know, Bill Siegel, a writer, put together an article in the Beverly Review and made that comparison. I mean, that's that was overwhelming for me to be compared to, you know, to James Farrell and to be mentioned in that same breath.
Well, the god of Irish writers in Chicago, I
right.
guess. Good call it. Dennis, we'll talk at length. I'm going to keep you on at least till 6:30, maybe even longer, to talk about this book. But I want to talk about everything you've done. You started your career as a basketball center, did you not? You haven't really written too much about that. But that was your first claim to fame, wouldn't you say, at St. Lawrence High School?
Yeah, you know, so I happened to be on one of those glory day teams back in the late 70s at St. Lawrence. We had, you know, two big All-Americans that were on the team, Kevin Boyle, who went on to play in a Final Four at Iowa, Jimmy Stack, who played at Northwestern and went on to be a scout for the Bulls and was credited with the idea of bringing Dennis Rodman to the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the guy, basically, they were both much taller than me, but I was the 6'3" center that kind of did the dirty work so that I was smart enough to get the ball back out to them and let them shoot again.
Yeah, genius playmaker. Then you decided to go to, you started your adult, so-called adult career, wanting to be a lawyer, didn't you?
Yeah, and, you know, Rick, as a kid growing up on the South Side, you know, I came from a family where we moved quite a bit, nine different times when I was a kid, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I became enamored, like, with whenever I would see Mayor Daley, the original Mayor Daley on TV, and I, you know, got the idea in my head that, hey, I'm going to be like that guy one day. And, you know, I read up about Mayor Daley and many of the other aldermen, and they basically all had legal backgrounds, so that kind of got me interested in becoming a lawyer. And, you know, I had some great times, and it was a true treasure to work as an assistant state's attorney in, for Cook County for a number of years.
What did that – I don't know if we've ever talked about that. It's not a unique job. I know many people who have done that job, but what was it like for you? It gives you a real, I think, an incredible insight into the way the city and legal things work and don't work at the same time, doesn't it, Dennis?
Yeah, and you know, I've always been the, you know, let's look at the you know, the glass half full. And,
yeah.
You know, the people can do good things, and, you know, it was just really a shock to me to see, you know, that kind of bad upon bad be piled into the courtroom. And, you know, but you work your way through it, you know, you're doing the right thing and wearing the white hat, and you're also hoping that the people that you know, are prosecuting, you know, that this act kind of, you know, becomes a wake-up call for them and that they'll go ahead and right their ways and kind of, you know, go on to something better for themselves, too.
Yeah. The the latest book. The latest book, which I think here are the books by my friend Dennis Foley. We'll get to No Ketchup later. That's a hot dog book. The Streets and Sandman's Guide to Chicago's Eats is arguably his most famous book. The Drunkard's Son is his most painful, I think, book, but eventually kind of filled with hope. The Blue Circus is out there. This one, Dennis, is what do you want to call it? You call it a memoir? What do you call this?
Yeah, definitely a memoir. The Drunkard's Son, I'd call that a memoir too, but I did mix in some fiction there and exaggerated some things, so that's why I kind of called it a memfic,
how much I thought of that book. I hope you know. I certainly think I wrote about it. It was a remarkably honest, and I have to think for you, a very difficult book to write, was it? It's about your dad.
Yeah, and
It's about you and your dad, yeah.
Yeah, and, my dad passed away when I was just about to turn 12, and then my grandfather, who was another important figure in my life at the time, he was the guy that was always there. My dad, wasn't around much. He was sick and in the hospital and the sanitariums and such, and my grandfather died, like, the following year. Mm. And, as a young kid, that stuff impacts you. And, from there, I kind of ran with a wild pack, and so the Drunkard's Son I was stabbed in the back in an alley fight, and I kind of write a story of the kid who's in the hospital looking back and kind of covering the path that led for him to end up there.
Yeah, it was a tough read, but I admired it. I admired it greatly. I think I wrote that it was a book of depth and heart and honesty, compelling, and as you are in real life, surprisingly humorous too, Dennis. That's the joy of the whole thing. When did you and your wife meet?
I met my wife Sue. I was down in Memphis, Tennessee. I had gone to college down there, and then came back and went to law school. I was going to go anywhere in America where I could get the opportunity to work for a judge. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that the judge that hired me was on the Tennessee Court of Criminal Appeals. His name was Robert K. Dwyer. He was the gentleman that handled the prosecution of James Earl Ray after he assassinated Martin Luther King. A great guy to learn from. And when I was down there during that period in 1985, I ran into my lovely bride in Alex's Tavern, the oldest neighborhood-run tavern in the city of Memphis.
Of Memphis?
Yeah, in Memphis.
Yeah.
Right.
You had a book signing party down there, and then you got in, like, the world's worst car accident. Dennis,
that wasn't any fun.
No, I know, but in many ways, you're one of my heroes. You were someone who has the ability to translate some really wicked, sometimes painful, and certainly to translate the emotional roller coaster that has been your life into these compelling stories. The latest compelling story is feloniously yours, and we'll tell you after the news. I'm sure Dennis would be happy to hang on, because we've been trying to get him on too. I'm so sorry that this show with football and all that stuff is so screwy during the fall and winter. Dennis, you have a website yet? You must have a website, don't you?
Yeah. My website is it's Dennis with two N's, so DennisMichaelFoley.com.
Good. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, while you're listening to the news, go there, DennisMFoley.com. Dennis, you and I will be back together in a few minutes after the news, okay?
Great.
Thanks. Welcome back. My pal Dennis Foley's on the phone. My other pal, Joe Crane, is sitting here waiting to go on 6:30. Dennis, tell me the seed of this book. What compelled you to write Feloniously Yours? What was it? I know most of what compelled you to tell your other stories, but what was it that that said, okay, I need to tell this now?
Yeah, and Rick, this was certainly not a story, a book that I ever thought I would write.
I'll bet, sure.
And quite frankly, I was knee-deep working on a novel set in the early 1900s in Chicago and had about 40 pages going. And, then I started getting bombarded with these memoir pieces, and I was like, no. And I just said, I'm focusing on this novel, and it just wasn't happening. These pieces just kept coming at me, and, you know, one might be, a piece from when I was a kid, another one from when I might be 50 years old. They didn't come in any particular order, so I kicked the novel to the curb for a while and just ran with this. And wasn't sure where it was going. And then later on, as I went ahead and continued to write, I was trying to figure how do I put this together. And then that's when, some of the stories about, when I was indicted by the feds kind of became the piece that connected everything. That kind of made things fall into place and kind of connected the dots for the entire work.
Tell that story, will you, Dennis? The indictment.
Yeah, so, I'll pat myself on the back a little bit and say that, I was always what I thought one of the most honest attorneys going.
No question.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and I did something wrong, and I owned up to it from, day one. And as I told the judge in court, I was in front of the federal court. Great guy, Judge Wayne Anderson. As a matter of fact, I met him at a pub when he was out with a couple of his law clerks one day. After I was working as an electrician for the city at the time, and he was going out to some of the different places, that I had written about in the Streets and Sandman's Guide to Chicago Eats. And there he was, and came over and introduced me to his law clerks, and we had a nice chat. But as I told him in court, I said, "Hey, Judge, if this is the worst thing that I ever do, in my life, the worst thing I ever do wrong in my life, I'll die a happy man."
Yeah.
And what I did was on a bankruptcy case, I went ahead and inflated a client's income by $350 so that he would not lose his home. And, little did I know that this case was referred to me that they were undercover federal agents.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll throw your life into a bit of a loop. So.
Well, basically, you were set up, and basically you don't whine and cry about it. That's what another admirable thing about you, Dennis. How old are your boys now? You have three boys, yes?
Yeah. So the youngest is 24.
Oh, my God.
Just wrapped up college a couple of years ago, and I have a son, Pat, he works in the city as an electrician. He's 32. And my oldest son, Matt, lives out in the New Jersey burbs of Philadelphia. He's 34.
And you're in touch with them all the time? Of course. They like
Yeah, my oldest boy has been a busy little bee. They just had their third kid in 4 years.
Wow.
So we were just out there for a christening, and I see my son Pat, and we'll be obviously getting together with the Christmas holidays and everything coming up too.
Now your wife's not still teaching, is she?
Yeah, she still is teaching.
Wow.
But kind of semi-retired. She's just doing working with 4-year-old preschoolers right now.
Oh, that's great. Listen, when you think of your life and career, Dennis Foley, and when you finally your license was suspended, and 2 years you got couldn't work. That's when you started. You started as an electrician, but you also enrolled in Columbia College, and that's really where you became a writer, isn't it?
Yeah, that is correct, Rick. When something like that happens to you, you kind of look at it and say, hey, what is it that you really want to do? And what kept coming back to me was write.
Yeah.
And I enrolled in Columbia, was fortunate enough, in their Master of Fine Arts and Creative Writing program, to have some fantastic teachers who helped me there in so many ways. And, even while I was in school there, the basis for putting together the Streets and Sandman book happened right there in one of my classes with an instructor named Sam Weller. And he put me in contact with
Sam Weller, the biographer of Ray Bradbury. Yep.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The that book, is that book still available?
I know it's out there on Amazon in the, you know, in the used format, nothing out there someone can buy new. And I did go out probably about 3 years ago and went out to all the eateries in the book.
Oh, wow.
Called up some just to see if they were still going.
Sure.
At that point, I mean, at least I would say 50 was, you know, the book was written in 2004.
Yeah.
And 50 to 60% of the places were still going. You know, unfortunately, you know, COVID probably didn't end.
Yeah, it did end a number of them. You also, I would recommend, the reason I'm having Dennis on is I like Dennis a lot, and all of his books are good, but feloniously yours, I see his growth not only as a memoirist, but also as a fiction writer. Because nothing you write, Dennis, is ever going to be easily categorized under one genre. Do you think you are you like to not fool around with different genres, but creatively merge things, don't you?
Yeah, I agree, and I think, you know, one of the things I enjoy, like writing memoir pieces, whether it be Feloniously Yours or The Drunkard's Son, is, you know, when you're writing about those people in the, you know, from your past, you know, the many of them who've gone on to the great beyond, you know, everyone out there can kind of agree that, you know, when you tell stories about them, you kind of breathe life back into them.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's one of the things I really enjoy. You know, even if it's something painful, you know, you still, it's like you get to see, you know, whether it's your mother, your father, your grandparents, you know, it's like they're there in front of you.
Yeah, we got to take one break and then finish up with Dennis Foley. I highly recommend, I go to his website. It's what's the initial, Dennis? It's Dennis what Foley?
Dennis Michael Foley.
DennisMichaelFoley.com. Because all of his books are worth reading. This Feloniously Yours is, you know, none of them are very expensive, ladies and gentlemen. You can have a whole Dennis Foley book bookshelf, if you will. Hang on, everybody, hang on. Dennis, you and you people listening, hang on for two more minutes, and we'll continue on with Dennis. And then at 6:30, you'll hear from Joe Crane about the wicked, wicked, wicked history of Glenview. Welcome back. I'm on the phone with my friend Dennis Foley, and happy holidays and all that jazz to you, Dennis, and you people out there. DennisMichaelFoley.com is where you could buy any and all of Dennis's increasing shelf of books. You happy with this book, Feloniously Yours, Dennis, are you?
I am. I'm very happy. I kind of cover the gamut with different stories and
You're all over you're wonderfully, let me just put it this way, you're wonderfully all over the place. It begins on your 8th birthday and aspiring, as you just talked earlier, wanting to be the mayor of the city of Chicago. I certainly feel as a reader your growth as a writer. Do you feel it?
I do, and when you were talking about, you know, memoirs and fiction earlier, you know, after writing these two memoir pieces, I think I'm kind of done now with that, and so
okay.
I am looking forward to, you know, pushing the envelope with the fiction and the novel next too, and continuing with that growth.
Talk to me if you could, and remind the listeners about your movie.
Oh, okay, yeah, so. I came up with a crazy idea to put a movie together. I wrote the script, and the movie was originally called Old Bob. It was later changed into Not a Stranger. What was really pretty cool about it was that, you know, once we filmed it and shot it, you know, we had put, you know, obviously put the cast and the crew together. It was all filmed on the South Side, mostly in the Beverly area.
Yeah.
And it picked up a, you know, great review from Richard Roper.
That's right.
And then, we ended up getting, we picked up, someone to go ahead and run with it. And now it's available on like Amazon Prime and other locations as well. So
how often do you watch it?
I probably look at it once every 2 years.
Okay, that's all? God, I'd look at it.
Every now and then when I see it pop up, because it flashes when I go on my Amazon Prime, and I'll play the trailer for fun, because the trailer is really, really well done. The distributor put that together, and I just get a hoot out of it. So,
well, did it sour? I remember I wrote about it when you were in the midst of making it. Did it sour you on movies, or the movie business is so, movie TV is so crazy now? How do you feel about that aspect of your career?
Yeah, you know, and I have written a number of other screenplays.
You won. Where is the award? You won a big award for a screenplay, did you not?
Yeah. So, I mean, the book, the novel that I wrote, The Blue Circus.
Yep.
When I wrote the pilot for it, it won, the gold first place award in the Beverly Hills Screenplay Contest, and I've had a couple other ones that have, won awards, and, that's all fine and well, but I'm hoping that someday someone will pick up one of these and run with it, because, I think some of them have some teeth and would definitely make for a good pilot or a good movie.
I do, too. Tell me about your novel that you're working on, if you don't mind.
And Rick, I think you'll get a hoot out of it, because we discussed a little bit about something along these lines before, but the early 1900s Chicago, dealing with with Ben Reitman, the man about town.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the doctor that took care of the destitute, the prostitutes, and the hobos, and his interaction with Emma Goldman, who was the high priestess of anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I focus on the Chicago time that they spend together, and then I kind of run with it a little bit. And, that's one of the few ones where I kind of map things out a little bit. But, about 40 pages into it, thoroughly enjoying it, because I'm having a chance to write about the Dill Pickle Club, which was kind of where, the Chicago literary renaissance took shape.
Uh-huh.
And also, right out there in front of it there as well, at the square.
Sure.
Bughouse Square, too, which you're obviously involved with, with the debates.
It's that, formal name is Washington Square Park. It sits right in front of the Newberry Library. Where are you doing your research on those two inimitable characters? I met Ben Reitman's granddaughter. She had written a book, and I think her name was Becca Reitman Carpenter. Some years ago, she was on the radio show, and she'd had a stroke or something. It was not the most forthcoming interview, but those are fascinating Chicago characters. What are you reading, Dennis? I've never really asked you about, you work so hard and you write so much that I've never really probed what you read for fun.
Yeah, and one of the things, like, I'm reading right now, and it's fun, but it's also kind of work related. I read plays and stuff too, and I've kind of been working on a few of those too. But I've just started reading recently, some of Elmore Leonard stuff. I've read before, but I've gone back to. And what I'm really interested in doing with that is, I'm going through Get Shorty right now, and kind of doing a comparison of, what's in the novel and what's in the screenplay, to see, what he worked on and how he cut different things out, how the screenplay had things that were chopped to make it flow.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that'll help me when I'm trying to turn the Blue Circus instead of a series of a pilot and a number of episodes, turn it into
a movie.
Standalone feature.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Tell me a few words about it. You've done it before, and your wife has just been as understanding and supportive. You should almost cry. She has been so wonderful. I mean, I think of the time you were driving back from Memphis and got in that horrifying car accident. Remind me, how horrible was that? You sort of stopped. You were driving back, and all of a sudden you looked behind you, and a truck was coming and smashed into you.
Yeah, we were right outside of Champaign, the University of Illinois. And all the traffic on I-57 came to a stop because of the lane closure, and everybody stopped except for the 18-wheeler who was, as I said in the in Feloniously Yours, he must have been, texting his girlfriend or, watching a really good Dwayne the Rock Johnson movie. And he plowed into us going about 55 miles an hour. And, we bounced around, ended up in the median, hit a number of cars, tore off the side of a boat. And I did think I was goners that day because I could tell something was seriously wrong.
Yeah.
And my wife says, come on now, let's go. Let's get out of the car. And I just looked over, you know, and said, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And,
and then
she got out, wrestled the door open, and pulled me out. So, you know what? I think I married pretty well.
I think you did too, Dennis. And I greatly admire you. Ever think to go back and practice law, or is that done for you?
Yeah, you know, I actually am. So, you know, after working for 9 years as a you know, I was only suspended
right,
like the year 2000. So I worked 9 years as an electrician, and then I taught in high school. And
right. Time, you went back to him, right?
I've been coaching basketball and lacrosse all that time, too. So, you know, I started actually practicing, you know, opened up, threw my shingle out again, like in 2012. So, you know, I've been doing that since. So I'm kind of, you know, I don't do criminal stuff anymore. I most definitely don't do any bankruptcies. And I do, you know, kind of like the fun, boring stuff, real estate closings and wills and trusts. So.
But, Dennis, you know how much I admire you. And you're not just your energy, but your talent and your honesty and your way with words. I relish getting a new book from you, and I relished reading feloniously yours, a memoir with Dennis's face. He's not, certainly not 8 years old on the cover of this book. He's a bit older, and you're just, your diligence and your perseverance and all that jazz. You're a remarkable guy to me, pal. I never saw you play basketball, but I did see Jim Stack when he played at Northwestern, so we got that bond together, Dennis.
Yeah. And Rick, I just want to say thanks to you for being so supportive over the years, too.
Don't be silly. I'll continue to do, as long as you keep writing, my friend, I'll keep doing that, okay?
That sounds great.
Best to the family. You're Irish, and I know you Irish folks. I'm half Irish, so I just celebrate half the holidays or drink half as much as I should. You take care and enjoy your family, Dennis.
And thanks again, Rick.
My pleasure. DennisMichaelFoley.com. Buy his whole bookshelf.